We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
Thanks for joining me on Special Edition. I'm Paula Degnan. September is Suicide Awareness Month. We're going to find out what signs you should be aware of and how you can approach the subject with a friend or loved one. We're also talking careers today, including careers in agriculture and horticulture that you may not even be aware of, and where, right here in our area, you could get the education you need. Starting us off, healthcare, an ever-expanding field, especially for those starting to look for a career. The Northeast Pennsylvania Area Health Education Center, partnering with the Northern Tier Industry and Education Consortium, will bring their second annual Healthcare Career and College Exploration event to the Viewmont Mall in Dixon City. Valerie Williams, health educator with the Northeast PA Area Health Education Center, joins us now with details of the event, which will include some hands-on experience. Val, you're here and you're getting ready for a very big day when it comes to healthcare careers. Tell us where and when and all about it.
Yes, so we're offering our annual Healthcare Career and College Exploration event on Thursday, October 12th at the Viewmont Mall from 10 to 2. And we are having over 50 exhibitors there to share healthcare career programs with them or health career opportunities for employment with the community.
And maybe you can give our listeners just a little bit of the background of how this came about and who is behind all this.
We are the Northeast Area Health Education Center, and we have partnered with NTIEC, which is Northern Tier Industry and Education Consortium. And we collaborated to plan this event to help students explore careers in healthcare because there is such a need in our region. And both of our missions align to provide healthcare providers in rural and underserved areas, which much of Northeast PA is.
Have you done this in the past?
Yes, this is our second year doing it. We have done it last year, and we had about 35 exhibitors and over 200 students from six counties attending. This year, like I said, we have 50 exhibitors. We're looking to expand the student numbers in addition to the counties that we're serving.
Now, the people that you have going to be exhibitors, what exactly are they going to be sharing with the students that are there?
Or many of our exhibitors are bringing different equipment from their clinics or from their labs at school. We're going to have dental models with dental instruments that students can utilize during their experience. There's going to be x-rays, physical therapy equipment, biomedical equipment, mannequins. We'll have, I believe someone's bringing a set of lungs and blood pressure cuffs. Many different things to give students the different ways to explore different careers and what that might look like.
When you're talking about the students, you're talking about high school students. So is that a group that you're hoping is going to be interested, already be interested, come in with some, this is what I'm going to do on when I graduate? Exactly. Because sometimes when you think high school, you think, oh, they have so many things to think about. So how do you know you're going to get the kids? Have you sent out to the high schools and said, this is what we're hoping, these are who we're hoping will attend?
Yes. Yes. So we had reached out to area high schools and guidance counselors and principals to share this opportunity with the students. Many students that came last year were already interested in some sort of health career. They kind of felt as though that was their path, although sometimes students are so may need the opportunity to kind of say, yes, I want to be in health careers or no, I don't. So being exposed to these kinds of things might help them make a decision. Somebody who may not be thinking about health careers may come to this event and actually realize that it might be something they really want to do. And they never really thought of that role because there's over 250 healthcare professions out there. And so students be exposed to many of them during this exploration event.
How do students go about attending this then?
If their school is organizing it, they may want to reach out to their guidance counselor to get permission because they may have busing opportunities. Or they could go to our website at NEPA-AHEC.org and register online with us. And then their parents can either bring them or they can get excused from school and drive themselves. So there's many ways for students to attend. And this isn't just for high school students. We'll also have graduate opportunities for college students if they're looking to expand their education and go a little bit deeper into a profession. They're welcome to come as well, or just community members. And again, they could go to our website to register for that if they're either a college student or a community member looking for a career change.
And what happens if the day of the event, someone who happens to hear about it or hears from a friend, oh, I'm going to this, or I heard about this, and they say, oh, I think I might like to go. Would they be able to still go and participate even if it was the same day?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can register at the door, and registration is free of charge for the participants. So they could absolutely register once they get to the Viewmont Mall. It would be an easier check-in if they registered ahead of time, but anybody's welcome at any time.
I'm looking at your website. There are so many different opportunities on your website. One of them I come across is Search Academy. Is that something like what you're talking about is going to be happening in October?
So our Search Academy program is a free virtual program that we offer across the state of Pennsylvania. And high school, specifically for like 9th through 12th grade students, high school students, who meet with healthcare professionals from across the state from different backgrounds. And so in our fall session, we'll have oral health, physician and physician assistants, and behavioral health. And so each session will focus on those different professions, and students have the opportunity to hear what their educational journey was like, what classes might help them to get ready for college, or what a day in the life is like to be in that profession and like the work-life balance. They have an opportunity to speak with the professionals and ask questions. And then we also offer a hands-on activity, whether it be dental carving for oral health or suturing for physician and physician assistants. Each session has a different activity to go along with the professions that we're showcasing that night.
So it does sound like the healthcare career and college exploration that's going to be happening at the Viewmont Mall has come right off the page of your website, because they're also able to get in right there in person with those folks.
Right. So for the career fair, it is in person, and they can speak to not only the admissions people from colleges and universities, they could also, many times they send faculty or even students with them so that high school students can ask the college students what college life is like, what the workload is like, what's campus living like. And so that gives it a different dynamic than just having admissions there, which they have valuable information. But it gives that the added level of information to the students and parents if they're coming along as well.
And you mentioned that you are reaching out to more students. Have you been able to reach out to more colleges and other schools that might be able to offer their services and their education to the students that are there, even outside of our area?
Yes. So this year we have sponsors from Cedar Crest College, Lackawanna College, Misericordia, Johnson and King's, in addition to DeSales, Ithaca College. So we have a lot of variety, not just the Lackawanna schools that we tend to see, but we branched out and hope to expand each year in bringing the colleges to these students to get the students more interested in different options that they have.
And I'm sure that also includes being able to find out about scholarships or how to pay for college and different things. And if that's coming from a student who's already involved in that, that can be very helpful.
Absolutely. There's a good peer-to-peer conversation that can happen when college students are here to speak to the high school students. It makes it more relatable for the high school students to speak with somebody closer to their age to understand who's recently going through that process.
Val, I'll tell you, I wish things like this existed way back when some of us were thinking about what do we want to do, because the things like that, they really don't know how fortunate they are that folks like you have put things together like this to really give them great insight.
Well, thank you. It's taken a team to kind of have this vision and bring it all together. And like I said, with our partnership with NTIEC, they've really helped us spread the word and get students more interested in this event.
Is there anything else that you would like us to make sure that our listeners know so that they can pass it on?
Just to visit our website for any information about our annual healthcare career and college exploration event, and that would be at NEPA-AHEC.org, and find out more about our October 12th event from 10 to 2 at the Viewmont Mall in Dixon City.
Thanks once again to Valerie Williams, health educator with the Northeast Pennsylvania Area Health Education Center, and the second annual healthcare career and college exploration event at the Viewmont Mall, Dixon City, on October 12th from 10 a.m. till 2. Don't go away. We're talking about more careers on Special Edition. Welcome back to Special Edition. In our first segment, we talked about healthcare careers. Now we're going to turn our attention to something that maybe you've never thought about as a career before: agriculture and horticulture jobs. Seed Your Future created Green Career Week. It's a national initiative led by industry professionals to increase awareness about green industry careers and help build relationship with local schools, colleges, and universities. And one of those is right in our area. We're going to now hear from Executive Director of Seed Your Future, Jasmine Olbaran. She tells us about all those jobs you may not even be aware of. Jasmine, it is a pleasure to have you here, and you are going to tell us about a wonderful organization called Seed Your Future. Since you're the executive director, I'm sure you have all of the information right there at your fingertips. So for our listeners who may not know about you folks, give us some of the background.
Thank you for having me here. So Seed Your Future was created by Longwood Gardens. It really is meant to show students the variety and the benefits of working in the careers in horticulture, agriculture, floriculture. We want to inspire students that have a passion for plants and let them know there is a career for you here. These are the industries that they're looking for, right? And the industries are looking for qualified candidates to move through the industries. It's the food we eat, the landscape we live in, we play in, and the environment that we want to thrive in.
When we talk about the idea of horticulture and agricultural jobs, people hear you say that and say, really? What can you do in those industries? Where could you even be able to make a living? Can you explain some of that?
Absolutely. And I think that's the misconception about all of these plant science industries, is that people think of the farmer in overalls from 1940 or the person cutting your grass as industry. And it's not. It's international. There is so much STEM and technology. You can be working directly with the plants, but then you can also be in graphic design and communications and marketing and HR. There are a variety of careers that you can have wherever your passion lies, whether you want to work outside or inside, and along with the salary. Salaries vary from 50,000 to six figures. You can be an entrepreneur. There is so much that you can do. And that's why Seed Your Future was created, right? To show students the variety of options that there are. On our website, we list industry internships, scholarships, the 2 and 4 year colleges. So students can see where some of those horticulture and floriculture programs are across the country. Again, we want to be a resource so that students can do some career exploration of what we have to offer for them.
In talking about that aspect of it, is it ever too soon for students to start looking into some of these careers? Because again, you're right. People have a vision of, oh, this is what happened way back when, and maybe they can't see exactly how the transformation, but you have students who are in high school and they're looking forward to college. Are there things that they should be considering when they're even in that area of their education before they even start moving on?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we start with middle school students. That's the age when students start thinking about who they want to be when they grow up, right? And the more opportunity they have for career exploration, the more they'll have an idea of what they do and don't want to do, right? Knowing what you don't want to do is just as important as what you want to do. So when we get you to high school, then it's like, okay, what college might I want to go to, or what part of horticulture might I want to go to? So really, we want students to start career exploration in middle school. On our website, we list 140 different careers within those plant sciences. You know, we tell students, go there and look at them, learn about them. We have YouTube videos that show you a sneak peek into that career so they can start becoming familiar with what it does and really deep dive into, oh, wow, this is the amount of technology in the industry. In nurseries and garden centers, you can turn on the water, the humidity from an iPad now, right? The public has no idea how innovative this industry is becoming, and which is why we're wanting to talk to the audiences at your show to have those conversations and get them to start becoming curious about our industry and hopefully come into it.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that we have one of those such colleges in our area here at Luzerne County Community College, which is able to offer such courses. So again, you don't have to think about, well, if I'm going to do something like this in my area, maybe there isn't a lot of interest in this, but you might find out that there is.
Exactly, really. You know, you just visit Seed Your Future, www.seedyourfuture.org. Again, we list colleges, 2 year and 4 year universities on the website. But if someone even is looking to career change, give us a call. We want to be able to help people, whether you're in middle school, high school, college, or career, to figure out how to bring you into this industry. I heard so many people that are saying, I'm in my late 30s and my 40s, and I'm now coming into the industry because someone talked me out of it. Either it was a parent or a school counselor or a college advisor that said, no, you don't want to go into that industry for whatever reason. And the student didn't. And now here they are 20 plus years later regretting it because that was truly their passion. So we want to help all students find that passion sooner than later and know that there are many options so they can pursue it.
And you're talking about Green Career Week. Are there things that you have planned and things that, and I'm sure it's not just going to be for 1 week, it's going to be, this is just a kind of a highlight.
Right, correct. So the reason why we are hosting this initiative, Green Career Week, in this fall, it's October 2nd through the 6th, is to give industry a timeline to work towards. So the point of Green Career Week is getting industry, all of the different careers, all of the different sectors connected to local students, right? We want them to set up field trips. Bring students to your site, like Longwood Gardens, so that students can see the careers that are there, right? So Longwood Gardens, you can think about the education department. You can think about the theater with all of the fountain work, the event planning, the administrative jobs. When you go to Longwood Gardens, you think about the beautiful garden itself, right? But we rarely think about, well, what are the careers that take to plant all of these beautiful plants and change them out by the season, and who's growing the plants, and where are they sourcing the plants from? Those are all careers. So that is why we want to have Green Career Week, is to help students realize these are the careers that are out there. And if industry, for whatever reason, can't bring students to them, We're saying, okay, industry, go into the classroom, do presentations about your business and the careers, talk about the careers that require degrees, the ones that do not. Bring someone from sales and marketing, customer service. So again, students can see that this industry has departments like others as well. So those are the main components. And the reason why we told industry, okay, let's focus on this week, is to give them a timeline. If we said connect with students, well, they're so busy, they might not have the time for it. But when you have something to work towards, you know, you meet that. But we are encouraging industry to do it any time throughout the year that works for them, educators in their community for sure. So it doesn't have to be just during this time of the year. And we boost it twice a year. We're having Green Career Week in the spring and also in the fall. So depending on where the professional in the industry and their capacity is, they can participate when it works for them.
And when you're talking about Green Career Week, it isn't just the horticultural aspect or the agricultural aspect. There are many other green careers out there that, like these, people don't realize.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, on our website, we list 140 different types of careers so that students can see, oh, I can work with robotics. I can work with drones. I can work in a lab. I can work in a field. Again, there is a variety. I can jump on a plane and go to the Netherlands and see how plants are being bred. I mean, it is a truly amazing the variety of careers that are in the industry and how international. And I'll share really the passion that people have in this industry, the professional fulfillment that people have. It has been truly incredible to see. And our students are looking for that. They want careers that are going to change the planet, and they want careers that are going to be fulfilling to them. And horticulture, ag, and floriculture, those are that.
Also, and here I am on your website, and I'm going to let you, Jasmine, tell us, what is that website that people can go to?
www.seedyourfuture.org. We have information for parents, for educators, and for students. Again, it's all around career exploration with all of the plant sciences.
There are other things there, talking about scholarships, talking about internships, even camps that some of the younger people may want to get involved with.
Absolutely. Again, students know they love plants, right? But how does that equate to a career? Like, how do I make money doing this? And that's another reason why we're around, is to help students make those connections. We even have a quiz that anyone can take, but it's meant for students. Literally takes about 3 seconds to do it. Based on your preferences, it then gives you a short list of 10 careers you might be interested in, right? So I say, oh, the student or the parent or the educator, help the student then do a deep dive into at least 3 of those careers that really catch his or her attention so that they can learn more about it. And again, even understanding what they don't want to do is really valuable when they go into college. You can then be very specific about the type of internships that you want to do, because that's, you're still doing career exploration in college, right? You just want to graduate with a career in mind and a job. And there are so many in this industry. When students graduate, they'll have 5+ job offers.
And here we are. Like I said, I'm on the website, and I was correct. Luzerne County Community College, right here in our backyard, that our listeners in our area are very familiar with, offering everything that you've been talking about today.
That's wonderful. I know it just takes a little bit of, you know, taking the time. Visit the website, look through the resources, and we're always happy to connect with any student, parent, educator that has more questions about the resources or that wants to be connected to a professional in the area. We are happy to help and be a resource for them.
Jasmine, I'm going to give you the microphone, and you, if we've left anything out, please add it. If not, just give us a recap of everything that you would like us to know about this Green Career Week and about Seed Your Future, including that all-important website.
Thank you. So not only are careers working with plants rewarding financially, personally, and socially, they also provide opportunities for people to pursue their passions, right? And do the things they enjoy doing and helping the environment that makes them happy. And So visit seedyourfuture.org for more information. And again, this is Jasmine, the Executive Director. I'm happy to be a resource for anyone that has more questions.
That's the Executive Director of Seed Your Future, Jasmine Olbaran, and you can find out more by visiting seedyourfuture.org. Next on Special Edition, Dr. Yolanda Graham talks about Suicide Awareness Month.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Stay with us. Now on Special Edition, September is Suicide Awareness Month. What signs should you be aware of? How can you approach the subject with a friend or loved one? Joining us now, Dr. Yolanda Graham. She is a psychiatrist and the Senior Vice President, Chief Clinical, Chief Medical Officer with Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health. Dr. Graham is here to share suggestions and resources that everyone should know about. Dr. Graham, it's always a pleasure to have you here, and you always bring us such great information. And this time, we're going to be talking about suicide awareness, and any time is a good time, because if you had to say any statistics off the top of your head, wouldn't you say that the number of suicides are maybe increasing? Or is it the fact that we're starting to now hear more about it, like what we're talking about today?
Yeah, Paula, great question. I'd say definitely the rate of suicide is increasing. And we know that suicides are still underreported because of the stigma. But, you know, in 2016, suicides hit an all-time high in the United States. And we've just continued to see that rate increase over the past several years. As a matter of fact, between 2000 and 2021, there was a 36% increase in the suicide rates in the United States. And in 2021 alone, more than 48,000 people died by suicide. That's an average of one person dying by suicide every 11 minutes, which is just, if you stop to think about that, just profoundly astounding, you know, in terms of the rate. And already we don't have the official numbers in for 2022 yet, but the provisional data suggests that the rate has increased an additional 2.6%. So the suicide rate is definitely increasing in the United States. And at this point, it really is a national public health issue, Paula. We know that certain populations are more at risk than others, but it truly is a national public health issue.
What was that stat again? How often are they occurring?
Every 11 minutes, on average, there's a person dying by suicide in the United States.
Wow. That, when you think about that, it's just an astronomical figure. So you mentioned the fact that there are certain groups. Let's talk about some of those, because as we're getting the word out and more people are coming forward, and you did mention the stigma, I'm sure that more people would want to know, what are these groups? Who should I be watching?
Right. And so the first thing I'll talk about is age. And I think that for me, especially as a child psychiatrist, has been really alarming is the increased rate of suicide in young people. We know that suicide is the second leading cause of death in people ages 10 to 14 and 20 to 24. And this rate has increased by 50% over the last two decades. So second leading cause of death in children 10 to 14 years old. It's also the second leading cause of death in college students. So many people don't often think about that. So we know that those populations are especially at risk. The other population in terms of age are adults, especially men over the age of 75. They have one of the highest suicide rates in the country. So that's age. And then when we look at race or ethnicity, American Indian and Alaskan Natives and whites have the highest rates. But what we've seen is that the rate of suicide for white Americans is decreasing, while the rates of suicide in African American, American Indian, and Alaskan Natives are increasing exponentially. So we know those groups are at higher risk. There's also been some recent research on occupation, which I found, you know, pretty interesting, is that, you know, in our veteran population, we're seeing higher rates of suicide. As a matter of fact, it is the second leading cause of death in veterans under the age of 45, and the rate of suicide in veterans has increased 57%. And then people who work in certain industries, such as mining, quarrying, oil and gas extraction, and construction. So, you know, as we look at people who work in those occupations, being aware of that increased risk is really helpful. Some of the things that we've known for a while is that people with disabilities have an increased suicide rate. As a matter of fact, their rate is three times higher than the general population. Individuals with a history of physical and sexual violence, which includes childhood abuse and bullying, are at increased risk. Our LGBTQ population. There was a survey done by the Trevor Project in 2023 that found that the rate of suicide attempts in the LGBTQ population is five times higher than their heterosexual peers. At least 41% of LGBTQ youth seriously consider attempting suicide just over the past year. So we know that this population is definitely one that we have to focus on. But also there's been recent research on geography, and there's an increase in the suicide rate in people who live in rural areas. So as I talk about this, I know I'm giving you a lot of information about different risk groups. But, you know, when we're looking at who's at risk, who we should be concerned about, checking on our elderly people, you know, we know that the risk is higher. Our veterans, our young children, our LGBTQ youth, and our college students, I think is really important.
And maybe at this point, Dr. Graham, we should also mention that there is, in case anyone is listening or knows someone, they can call or text 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. And since that has come into play, I'm sure that there has been more talk about it and more people are hearing about it. So maybe they are reaching out.
Yeah, that is our hope, Paula. We're tracking those statistics and looking at the number of calls, and it definitely has been helpful for us as a nation to have one source. It's easy to remember 988, right? It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's always someone available to listen and to help. And that's part of our national strategy for suicide prevention. It's focused on education, but also increasing access to resources. You know, in addition to the national hotline in Pennsylvania, you can text PA to 741741 to reach Pennsylvania's crisis text line. And many counties in Pennsylvania also have their own crisis lines. So, of course, you know, when you're really feeling suicidal and thinking about taking your own life, it may be hard to reach out and find those resources. So one of the things we really talk about is that if you know people are at risk, work with them on creating a safety plan. That safety plan has the numbers there written down somewhere really accessible so that in the moment, if you need to reach out, you don't have to go searching for resources. You have those resources written down. The safety plan can also include who in your life can you reach out to? Who feels safe? What are the activities that you can engage in that can help distract you from those thoughts that in the moment? What are your calming and coping strategies? You'd be amazed, Paula, but when you're depressed, it's really hard to think about those things that work for you. So creating a safety plan and having that written down nearby is really helpful. And certainly, as I said, including that 988 or other crisis lines is a critical component of that.
There are so many questions. And the one that just keeps coming to my mind is when you mentioned the different groups and the different ages, is there any type of similarity that all of these, I mean, it doesn't sound like there would be between teens and between elderly adults. And is there any kind of similarity that might say this could be part of it or some of it, or are they all just different?
No, I think there are some common themes that we can start to explore as we try to really break this down into components that are understandable. I think abuse, as I said, a history of abuse, you know, at any age, you know, increases your risk of suicide. Also, there's been studies looking at income and suggesting that increasing the minimum wage can help decrease suicide risk. We know that for veterans who are unemployed, we know for certain ethnic groups where there's lower socioeconomic status. I mentioned the American Indian, Alaskan Natives, African Americans. You know, if you look at the pay disparity amongst those groups, that certainly is a common thread that runs through that. And then I think the whole theme of loneliness, if we look at how difficult it is for our youth to really find a place where they belong these days, right? And the impact of social media, and which can have great benefits, but also can have very detrimental benefits when it comes to mental health and being ostracized and creating that sense of loneliness. We look at our elderly population being more at risk. Loneliness is a big cause for that. So I think those are three of the themes that can run through the various groups that I mentioned earlier.
And then when you look at the other side, and as you mentioned, you know, the minimum wage and money and loneliness and so many of those different factors, then you look at some of the other people who have come out and talked about, or that we have seen have taken their own lives, and you look at them and you say, but you had it all. You had the money, you had fame, you didn't have to worry about any of that, but yet it still happens.
Right. I think that's where the issue of mental health and mental wellness comes in. If you look at that, and you know, one of the things that I do think our nation has been better at in terms of our media coverage of people who die from suicide, it's not glamorizing the suicide, because we've seen that in the past, that when there are reports of famous people dying by suicide, that we see an increase in suicide attempts, with other people looking at them and thinking, if they can do it, then I can do it too. And I understand and connect with that. But, you know, if you look at many of those have been suffering with mental illness for years and years. And so untreated mental illness, we know, is one of the greatest risks. And that can include, you know, anything from depression to bipolar disorder to schizophrenia. But certainly, I think the burden of dealing with mental health challenges over a long period of time increases risk. And so, you know, fame and money have nothing to do with mitigating that, unfortunately.
Again, when we look at, especially talking about children, we look at children as adults and say, you should be happy, you should be carefree, this, you have all this in front of you. But then You mentioned the ages. So what does someone do in that respect? You would never think that a child would be in that situation.
You're right. And we have to change our thinking around that, because if we don't, we're not able to intervene. So some of the interventions that have proven to be effective is schools really focusing on creating a sense of connectedness, creating safe spaces, teaching coping skills and teaching problem-solving skills, providing suicide education prevention, even as early as elementary school, when I talk about 10-year-olds having an increased risk, focusing on reducing substance abuse and access to lethal weapons. Firearms are used in half of the suicide attempts in the United States. And so we certainly see all over the news where young people are having access to firearms, and that is increasing the risk of suicidality. But supporting educational programs that focus on social-emotional learning and resiliency and parenting skills is really critical in reducing the suicide rate in that population.
And then what about the statement that many people, when they find out that someone they know, a loved one, whatever, has taken their own life, why couldn't I have done something? Why didn't I see it coming?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Survivor guilt is really a challenge. And what I'd say is, if you're concerned about that, the best way to prevent that is to educate yourself now, because we may not all know someone personally who has died by suicide, but chances are we all know someone who's at risk and who's at high risk, rather because of the risk categories that I talked about earlier or because of ongoing issues with mental wellness. And so the most important thing we can do is to work in the area of prevention. So learning how to identify those people who are at risk, learning how to ask the right questions, and how to respond appropriately in crisis situations. One of the things that I'm really excited about, that as we see sports figures and, you know, film stars talk about their own mental health challenges, I think it begins to create that normativity that this is real. Mental health challenges are real, and we have to start talking about them. And so I think it's created more of an avenue for us to be able to do that openly, for, you know, peers to be able to talk to their friends, to talk to their school figures and educators and people that they trust, their colleagues and coworkers. You know, and that is really exciting as we start to destigmatize, you know, mental health challenges. And there are ways that we can educate ourselves more. There are programs called gatekeeper programs where you can actually take free online training that equips you to be able to recognize the warning signs and to ask the right questions. And so taking advantage of those, if you want to prepare yourself so that you're not, you know, then left with that survivor guilt.
It's so much easier to walk in and say, I have a broken arm. And they look and they say, you're right, you have a broken arm. And then they fix it. And in these cases, sometimes you don't see that because people are very good at keeping those things inside and hiding them. And for someone who may want to broach the subject, then it becomes, what if I say this out loud? And it gives them an idea. So now where do you go?
Right. I think for me, one of the analogies I can use is that when I first started working in the field, people really didn't ask about sexuality or sexual orientation or gender identity because it was this taboo. Well, I don't want to ask. That's a sensitive topic. I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. But we have learned that by not asking the question, that we're increasing the risk of mental health issues in that population. And that by asking, we're actually able to intervene with supportive resources. I think the same is true with suicidality. You know, it was considered taboo. It was certainly a topic that no one would broach with others. But I think as much as we can normalize mental health and talking about mental health, then I think it would help us in really being able to feel more comfortable as people in talking about suicide, because we know suicide is a real risk. And you're right, you don't always see it. But when we have people that we interact with and you start to see changes in their ability to function, you start to see changes in their patterns. You see them withdraw. You see them become less productive. You know, it's important to check in on those changes and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on? I'm concerned. And so you don't have to ask, are you feeling suicidal? You can simply state your concern as a way of opening the door and letting someone know that you're a safe space to talk about that.
Well, what can we do? Because I'm sure that there are people listening who are saying, Dr. Graham, it sounds so good coming from you, but I just don't know what to do. And I'm afraid for so-and-so. And again, if you have some advice that you can leave for our listeners, I'm just going to turn the microphone over to you and let you give it to them.
Okay, well, there's certainly some things that we can do broadly. So I'll start there and then go to the micro level. But, you know, supporting policies that strengthen mental health coverage and parity and access to services and providers. I talked about promoting that sense of connectedness and safe spaces in schools, strengthening financial and housing resources. We look at social determinants of health being a big risk factor for people getting to the point of thinking about suicide. It's important that we address that. So those are kind of policy, broader level issues. But as an individual, if you have someone that you think may be at risk, it's important that you start the conversation. And as I said, if you don't know how to start the conversation, there are tools to teach you how to do that online. And many of those are free to really help you. You can Google suicide gatekeeper trainings and look at all the resources that are out there. And then once you're able to educate yourself, be brave, have the conversation, risk someone feeling uncomfortable, because you having the braveness and the courage to do that may actually save that person's life. You know, check in on a person regularly. Schedule a time to do it on a regular basis so that if they miss the check-in or you're not reaching them, you know that there may be a need for increased concern. I think consistency is the most important thing of being there for someone. Even talking about your own feelings and challenges helps others. It opens the door for others to feel vulnerable to talk about theirs. I think when you know someone may be at risk, asking, are you feeling suicidal, in a compassionate way. It's not judgmental. It's not meant to be pejorative. It really is the most compassionate thing you can do.
And once again, if you could give us the information as far as those emergency lines that people can contact if they need somebody right now.
Sure. The National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, you can call or text 988. It's as simple as that. You can write it on a sticky note on your refrigerator, keep it next to your phone, but call or text 988. Someone is available 24/7, it's free, and it's confidential. In Pennsylvania, you can text TA to 741-741. Also, in your county, there may exist crisis lines. And so Google your county, find your crisis line, write that number down. It could save your life or it can help you in saving someone else's life.
Dr. Graham, it's always a pleasure to get to speak with you because you have such good insight into all these things that many of us really can't verbalize, but we need to know more about.
Right. Well, I really appreciate you, Paula, tackling these topics and really providing that education. As I said, the more we talk about it, the more we normalize it, and the better equipped we are to help ourselves and others. So I appreciate your work.
Dr. Yolanda Graham, psychiatrist and senior vice president, chief clinical, chief medical officer with Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health. And again, if you or someone you know may be having thoughts of suicide, you can call, text, or chat 988 or 211. Here in Pennsylvania, it's 1-800-283-TALK, TALK being 8255. And each county across the Commonwealth has a suicide prevention task force. You can learn more by visiting PreventSuicidePA.org. I'm Paula Degnan. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.